Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Windows Azure Websites Deep Dive Jumpstart. It is a mouthful, and we have a whole bunch of topics for you today that we're going to talk about really quickly. A lot of ground to cover today.
And demos. And it is a deep dive jumpstart. It's not just a deep dive.
And so It's not just a deep dive. We're jumping in. We're diving. We're doing it all. So we're gonna go as far as we can take you today. We've got a lot of demos lined up, a lot of really great content. My name is James Chambers. I am a developer on the .NET stack. I've been doing this since my teenage years. I love development. I love developing. Love sharing with others as well. So I'm an author and a frequent blogger. My site's there on the slide. I have also written a book on Windows Azure websites. It's based off of an earlier version, but we have with us here as well today. Along with me here is Tej, and he can introduce himself.
Hey, I'm Tejasvi Redkar, and I'm an author. I work for Microsoft as a director of business programs, and I've written a book on Windows Azure website, which is on my desk. You can see it later. And I'm also the worldwide community lead for Windows Azure and several years of experience in building solutions on Windows Azure. So today is a mouthful.
Absolutely.
Today is going to be demo mouthful.
It's going to be yes, absolutely.
And we have one more presenter.
We have one more guest with us today. We're hoping he doesn't show up, but with some of the realities of working in these kinds of environments is that sometimes he tends to. So
that's the demo demon, and
that's
we
right.
have befriended demo demon.
Yes, I've friended him on Facebook. We're following him on Twitter. Hopefully, we've made friends with him, and he doesn't interfere with too much. But he's been around since the start of PowerPoint, and he tends to like to get into the way of these things.
He's a stakeholder today, so if we fail, he fails.
That's right, absolutely. Excellent. So why don't we start just by kind of covering what the day is going to entail, and we will just kind of get a broader overview here. We've got we have 7 modules that we're going to work through today.
Yep.
And first, you're going to lead us through an overview. We're going to have a great discussion on...
We are going to be a tour guide.
That's right.
We'll tour you over the Windows Azure Websites portal, Windows Azure portal, and some quick demos.
That's right. And then we're going to start having a little bit of a deeper look at the tools that are going to keep you well connected to the cloud. Make sure that when you're working with Azure, when you're working with your projects, you've got the things that you need to in order to be as productive as possible. We're going to talk about continuous deployment. It's part of a CI strategy, and we'll get a little bit deeper into how this can help you out as you're developing and deploying sites and trying to give you some ideas about how you might be able to automate your builds and those kinds of things.
I love continuous. I've registered the name iContinuous just for this session.
Perfect. Excellent. And then we're going to talk about some scaling and configuration as well. So beyond that, we're going to have we're going to dive into that portal. We're going to look at all the different kinds of ways that you can configure your apps that you've deployed to use settings that are built into your project that you can override in the portal. Lots of great gritty nitty things that you can do in there, and scale as well, Tej.
Absolutely, scale, and then we are going to go into case studies.
Right, have a look at some real-world examples. And we've got 2 sessions on that. We've got a checklist that's going to help you get through your own kind of development and deployment, help you set up some strategies and make sure that you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's, those kinds of things. And then a couple of real-world samples.
Real-world samples, and then we'll have a lightning round.
And for the lightning round, we are going to go through as many things as we can as quickly as possible. Now, again, as Tej already mentioned, we have just an absolute ton of demos today.
Ton of stuff.
So we're going to, we may need to cut some things short in the lightning round, but we're going to get through as much as we possibly can. Okay, so let's have a look at some of our expectations for the day. Tej, why don't you kind of set the ground for who we're trying to talk to today?
So we are going to talk to basically website developers, testers, architects, novice developers, as well as professional developers. So anyone can join the session. We are going to start simple, but going to do a deep dive later on. So you can navigate your way accordingly. And we'll have the support material ready later on for downloads.
Excellent. Okay. And we're part of a bigger process here as well. We're hosted here on Microsoft Virtual Academy. There's a ton of great content. So if you found your way here today via Twitter or a blog post or some other referral, that's wonderful. But there's a lot more available in this universe. So check out some of the other courses that are here.
So there are 1.5 million registered.
Over 1.5 million registers now. So this is a community that's growing. It's active. And it's great to be able to be a part of for at least for a day. So thanks for joining us here. Why don't we get started here, and we'll dive right into our first module. Which is basically our introduction to and our overview of Windows Azure websites.
Yep. So let's move on. So in this module, we'll cover Windows Azure overview. So Windows Azure is big, right? It's huge. And Windows Azure websites is just a small piece of the portal. It's just a small piece of the entire platform. And we are going to cover the details of Windows Azure, as well as how easy it is to create websites, test those websites, build continuous deployments, and build solutions on top of Windows Azure.
For sure. It's important when looking at this, because you may have had exposure to Azure in the past. You may have been doing application development all along, and you've seen websites in the peripheral. There's a lot of great stuff here, but if you're new to Azure or you're new to websites, it might be hard to see all of the pieces. So we can have a look at the bigger picture of what Azure is.
And Windows Azure has lowest barriers to entry into Azure. So if you want to try out cloud, if you want to try out Windows Azure, try out Windows Azure apps, Windows Azure websites. It's free to start. But then later on, you can scale up as per your needs.
Excellent. So why don't we get started and dive into this overview then. Why don't we start here?
So what is the most difficult question to answer? I get this question all the time, right? So what is cloud?
Right. What is cloud? Yeah.
I get asked by technical and non-technical people. So
let's try and define it for what we're trying to talk about today, what we're trying to address today.
Let's keep it simple. Okay, so for today's purpose, cloud is a metered data center service available to deploy your applications at global scale. So basically, I'm bringing in metered because it's like a utility, right? So with cloud, all these software companies have become utility companies. So it's like your power, utility, your electricity, your gas. So everything is metered. So it depends on how much you use. You pay for what you use. And then this is available at global scale. I'm bringing global scale in here because it's not just one data center. It's not an optimized data center. It's global scale. You should be able to deploy your application in any continent you wish to. So that is what Windows Azure is all about. And that's what we are going to cover today.
So that's where we're at with what the cloud is, kind of a broad definition of the cloud. We know it's not infrastructure that we're creating on-premise, for example. It's something that somebody else is going to manage for us at some level, either infrastructure or platform. Yep. So what is Windows Azure then? What is actually Windows Azure? If we know what a cloud is, well, then what is Azure?
Windows Azure is Microsoft's cloud. Basically, it's Microsoft's cloud platform. You click on that link, and it will take you to the portal, which will describe information about, it will showcase the features of Microsoft Windows Azure.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned as well that there's a global aspect to it, and it's not just any one data center that's highly optimized for worldwide. It's actually a distributed system, right?
Yeah, let's look at it.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's look at it. So Windows Azure has globally distributed data centers, and as of today, there are 6 data centers. Look at the map here on the slide. So you have 4 data centers in US, 2 in Europe, and 2 in Asia Pacific. And from your desktop, you can deploy your application anywhere in the world. So this is a great thing. And if you see those triangular nodes, those are content delivery network nodes where you can cache your data as endpoints.
Excellent. Okay, so we kind of have a bead on what Windows Azure is. We kind of know what the cloud is. Let's have a look at how somebody starts to interact with the portal and getting their hands wet and their feet dirty, or their feet wet and their hands dirty with some cloud stuff.
Or get wet altogether, completely.
Just dive right in.
Dive in. Dive
in. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So let's take a look at the demo. And so this is windowsazure.com. So this is the product portal. So this is for consumers. So if you want to know anything about Windows Azure, you go to the portal. There are solutions. There is pricing, which is big because, as I mentioned earlier, it's pay for what you use.
It's metered. Yeah,
it's cost-driven architecture. That's what we call it. So any service you use, make sure you can afford that service. Right. The next is documentation. It's well-defined documentation, tools download. Then on the top corner here, account and portal. Right. So this is where you can sign up for the portal. And it's free. And you can have upper limits on your portal such that you don't cross that free barrier. Right?
Right.
So the system shuts down if you start using services beyond your free tier.
And there are a lot of free services. And you can set a spending limit to say, hey, I only want to go so far on a monthly basis or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
And all that's configured under your account.
Yep. Okay. And then once you open an account, you will be navigated to manage.windowsazure.com. So, and the portal here, it looks, this is everything about Windows Azure. And a good cloud provider will always have a good portal because it's all in the cloud. And this is what cloud is. If you manage.windowsazure.com, this is what cloud is. And on the left-hand side, if you see, these are all the services available in Windows Azure. And it starts with websites because it is the simplest.
Right.
And it has the lowest barriers to entry. And if you drill down, there are virtual machines, mobile services, cloud services, SQL databases. So mobile services are for creating mobile applications and having pre-built framework in the cloud for mobile applications.
Right.
Then there are cloud services, which is another platform as a service, which is similar to Windows Azure websites, but it is more low level, where you can build your applications on top of cloud service, but you'll have access to some of the low level operating system elements also.
Right.
Then you have SQL databases, which is SQL Server as a service. And then you have storage. So within storage, you have blob storage, queues, table storage, NoSQL kind of storage environment if you want. Then HD Insight is Hadoop as a service in Azure. Then media services, where you have media workflows for delivering videos. Service bus, my friend, it's the messaging bus for creating hybrid environments and Demo Demon's favorite service.
There you go.
And then you have Visual Studio Online, BizTalk services, which went live. Networking for creating hybrid networks between Windows Azure and your data center. Management services, traffic manager, the list goes on. And this is an ever-increasing list.
There is a lot of stuff here.
And more coming.
And more coming. Many of these services are actually available for use through Windows Azure websites. Yeah. So we're at some of our demos later on, we're going to look at how you can integrate these pieces together.
Absolutely.
You might have a service running on a cloud service somewhere. You might be using the service bus to communicate across networks or even within an application that's scaled out. Depending on your configuration. So there's a lot of options,
and
that's why we're diving deep, right?
Yep,
that's why
we're and where we are going to be today is in this website section, right? If you see, these are the list of websites, and you can create your own. There is a free tier, and then if you click on each website, it will take you to the dashboard of the website where you have all the monitoring capabilities, capabilities to connect to source control, capabilities to connect to databases.
So this is starting to get into the deeper aspects of configuration.
Yep.
But let's maybe back up a second and talk about what is Windows Azure websites, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we kind of, we'll pop back to the slide deck here for a second and kind of help define what Windows Azure websites are. What is this service, this aspect of Windows Azure that we're talking about?
Exactly. So it's a full lifecycle delivery for deploying websites globally, right? So you can deliver your websites into any of the Windows Azure data centers, and those websites can serve consumers as well as your corporate audience, right? And you can integrate those websites into your existing systems running in your data center as well as any other consumer identity systems like Twitter or Facebook or Microsoft account, and also enterprise authentication systems like Office 365. So you can build websites, any kind of website that you wish to, and multiple languages.
And even though it sits on the Windows Azure platform, it doesn't prevent you from interacting with other platforms, on-premise services, other cloud service providers that are out there. You can really get at whatever you need to get at, just as though you're writing an application where you control the platform and the architecture.
Yeah, think of Windows Azure websites as a host for deploying your website. So you deploy your website and then you're free to connect to any other services around the world. So you don't have to bind your service to other Windows Azure services only. So you can have other identity services, other messaging services, other database services. But this is an important point. The moment you leave the data center, you pay for egress. That means if your data leaves the data center, there is a cost associated with it.
So let's have a look then at what some of this starts to look like when we start plotting these components on a map.
Yep.
The first thing you'll notice if we just pop back to the slide deck there, there's different areas of where your application might live, and depending on how deep you want to dive and how many pieces you want to move out, then we can kind of start at your data center and then kind of work out from there.
Yeah. So on the far left, that's your data center. You are running your application in your data center. you are accountable for everything, right? From hardware. If hardware fails, it's your responsibility. If applications fail, it's your responsibility.
Right. So an application in a virtual environment on virtual hardware on your infrastructure, there's a lot of points of failure there.
Yep. And plus basically you have more control over the entire data center. So if you want the hardware to fail, you can fail it.
Right.
So then you move into the cloud. So in Windows Azure, there are multiple compute services, as you saw from the portal. So there are virtual machines where the hardware and the virtualization is abstracted from you. That means Microsoft manages that for you. Now you still own the OS, the virtual network, the firewall rules, the data, and the applications. So you can fail the OS here, right?
Right.
You cannot fail the hardware here,
right?
Because that's Microsoft's job.
Exactly, but it's on you still to maintain the operating system, to make sure that you are installing all the patches and the security fixes are in when they come out. That's all still your responsibility.
Yep. And the versions.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay, so then it keeps going though. It doesn't stop at virtual machines. We move into cloud services as well.
And if you see, the abstraction level goes up and up, right? So now in cloud services, the OS is abstracted. So Microsoft takes care of patching for you. Microsoft takes care of installing updates for you. But you are still responsible for virtual machines, firewalls, data, and applications. So there you might have a website or an application where you need this kind of access, right? And the moment you move to the next tier, which is Windows Azure websites, so where you only own application and data. So if anything underneath it fails, it's Microsoft's responsibility.
Right.
If the application and data fails, right, it's your responsibility. What I mean by data failure is, let's say you have security issues with your data, or you have security holes in your application. You are responsible for it.
From an application perspective, if you throw a broken application out there, it's not Microsoft's fault.
Yeah.
You've got some misconfiguration or something like that. That's still on you to cover.
But at the same time, you get a lot of features. You get the scalability. You get the scale of worldwide data center availability. You get the scale for deploying your applications anywhere in the world, as well as data, managing data at terabyte scale. So that's what Windows Azure websites and the whole platform looks like from a compute perspective.
There's actually then, we started at this place where it's super complicated, and we've stripped all these things away, and we've tried to make it as simple as possible. And that's actually one of the tenets of working with Windows Azure websites.
Yeah, start simple,
right?
Code smart, go live quickly. So it's about starting simple, right? So you don't have to build a large-scale website from scratch. Start with 3 or 4 pages, deploy it, see how it looks, then keep on iterating, right? Start simple, but code smart, right? Don't write a million lines of code and then deploy. So code in small snippets and keep on testing, right? It's continuous testing and continuous deployment environment.
And you're going to use the languages and the tools and the frameworks that you're familiar with. So, and we're going to cover a lot of those today as well. And even dive into some of the demos there. But you just code using the patterns, the tools, everything that you want to, and just be smart about how you're doing it, right?
Yep, and it go live quickly. What that means is Windows Azure website is by default live. When you publish your website, you get a domain name, you get a URL, and it is live. Now you have to decide which is the staging environment, which is the QA environment, and which is the production environment. But you are live, so now it's up to you to make sure the users that are accessing your website, they are aware that you are accessing a staging website or a production website.
Okay, so I guess even after we understand this, this is a good mantra from, start simple, code smart, go live, but it's not going to get into the vernacular of the developers. We're more like, red light, green light, refactor, and things that are more appropriate.
This is marketing talk.
A little bit of marketing speak or whatever. So some people at this point, if they don't like the marketing abstraction stuff or whatever, they might still have a lot of questions.
Absolutely.
It's a big beast, right?
Oh boy, I love this image. Yeah. So what is Windows Azure websites about? So we saw multiple properties of Windows Azure websites. So every person has a different view. Right. So what is it about? What are the different features? And at the end of this module, you will have a clear overview of what Windows Azure Websites is about. How does it compare with other services? How simple it is? So let's take a look at
For sure. And actually, one other thing, too, here. I mean, it's important to note that this graphic is kind of appropriate For Azure as a whole, if you're looking at any one part of it, or if you're working with any one part of it with your eyes closed, then it's kind of hard to see the bigger picture
it's
here.
It's for everything.
Yeah. But then that's true also of Windows Azure website. So the first thing to know then is really that it's about...
Yeah. It's about simplicity.
Right.
So why Windows Azure websites is simple. So because it's very easy to deploy a website into Windows Azure. You don't need any tools to start with because everything from within the portal, you can deploy it. So let's take a look at a quick demo on how we can deploy a website quickly into Windows Azure. So in the portal, if you see here a new button, right? So in this new button or new tab, it's similar to the start menu. It reminds me of the start menu, right?
Right, and this isn't a website that you've already built. We're starting from scratch. We have no files on our operating system. There's nothing.
There is no OS involved here.
Right.
Me and the portal.
Right.
So any new service you want to create in Windows Azure, you start from the new button, right? And then you have the compute, data, app, network. These are higher level buckets for each service. And then within compute, you have website, virtual machine, mobile service, and cloud service. And website, if you see here from gallery, right? You can open the gallery, and there are a bunch of websites that are already there, built for you, ready for you.
Now, a lot of these are either free projects that somebody's put together, or they're open source projects where you've got community contributing and making these available inside of Azure.
Yep. And so let's take a look at a very simple one. I like simplicity, right? Because Windows Azure websites is all about simplicity. So let's create a quick, simple ASP.NET empty template. So here, let me minimize this. Okay. Next, and then in the URL, I just create a domain name, a unique domain name. So let's say VA website. So this has to be unique within the Azure websites.net domain. So by default, you get an Azure websites.net domain, and then I can choose a region. Now, currently, region translates to a data center, right? So you have West Europe, and even though there are six regions available in Windows Azure, my subscription is enabled only for a number because I have some internal subscriptions, so I have some limits. So that's the reason only limited data centers and regions are being shown. So let's pick West US, right? And then let's click Next. And that's it. If you see here, this is called a drawer, by the way, right? So
the drawer that kind of pops out. And down at the bottom, there's the command bar that sits over top of the drawer. Yeah. So we've got a couple of ways to interact with the portal, right?
Exactly. And if you see the MVA website is being created and it's already created, I can click on the website. Now I get into the dashboard of the website by clicking on the dashboard link here. And then within the dashboard, then I have the operation logs and then the URL, most importantly, right? So I can click on this site URL and now it's loading the website, right? So it was created, it was published, but it was not live. So now Windows Azure is loading the website into the runtime and it is deploying it into its own infrastructure.
Right.
So you don't see anything because it's an empty website.
That's right, absolutely.
It's an empty website. And so to edit that, we have Web Matrix, right? So you click on the Web Matrix tool here at the bottom of the link. Now, Web Matrix is a great tool for quickly editing or deploying your websites, and then I can edit the site live. So this is live site. This is not recommended, but because this is a test environment, I can go and do whatever I want with the live site.
For sure, we've talked about how it's about simplicity. It's also about web your tooling, the dev tools that are available, right?
And they have given you the control, but please don't abuse it.
Right.
Or abuse it, right?
Yeah, live editing your site on the fly is probably not production advice that we would give most developers. So. Right, but Web Matrix is a free download. You get it right out of the portal. It's on that toolbar, on that command bar of every site. That command bar is always updated inside of the portal to point at whatever website you're on. It's in the context of that website. And so as the tooling changes and you click on Web Matrix, that's your site's going to be loaded up, and then you can open it live. So now you've gone into Web Matrix here.
And I've just made some changes and saved the site to Windows Azure websites live. So I edited a live site and saved it live. Now I can go back and click on MVA website, and then welcome to MVA.
Right. There we go.
There you go. Live demo. We have beaten the demo demon.
So far. Perfect. Okay. It's also, it's not just about the story about simplicity and about the dev tools. It's also about the apps that are available. And you had a look at a simple template that was just an empty site or whatever, but there's also lots of great places to start from where
absolutely.
You can jump off and get a lot of code written for you automatically.
Yep,
right?
Absolutely. So from the gallery, you can create a content management system. Let's say I want a CMS. You can look at what CMS is. So these are built by Microsoft partners. Most of them are open source and available for anyone to deploy. So Orchard CMS is a popular one. I like it because it has a nice template, nice structure. And I can select Orchard. I can create my O-R-C-H-A-R-D Orchard websites. Oops, the website is taken. I can add an MVA at the end. And then I can select now North Central US to deploy it. And as soon as I click OK, the Orchard website gets deployed. Now, if you see here in the mode, you will see that this is a free, it is deployed as a free tier. That means it's available to me for free, but the previous one was deployed as standard tier. We'll cover that later on why it gets deployed. But right now, as it's creating, there are multiple tiers you can use within Windows Azure website. So there is free, shared, and standard tier.
Right, and yeah, we're going to be talking about how those break down and how, like, when you would pick which one for your project.
And what's the pricing.
Right, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that one's up and running, and I think we get the gist of what's going on here.
Yep.
We still have, like, tons of ground to cover here in this overview, so maybe if that stage is up and gets running while we're...
We can come back
later. We can come back to
because
it and just let it...
It's a big CMS system,
right.
So it takes time for Windows Azure websites to pull the files from one place and deploy it.
Exactly. Now, we also said, though, that this is about scale, so it's not just about... These other pieces. There's another facet to it here as well, and that has to do with how you can make this thing bigger as the site popularity grows.
And scaling is one of the most important value propositions of cloud and Windows Azure in general. So you can scale your application infinitely. We call it infinitely. Of course, there are data center limits, but from your application perspective, you can scale it to n number of nodes, and the elasticity is available to you.
Right. Okay. Well, let's have a look at that and how that operates inside of the Azure portal then.
Yep. So let's look at the MVC Music website. Now, there is a scale tab here, which is in preview right now. And as soon as I click scale, it loads the scale tab. And then here I have the website's mode. And if you go down, if you see here in the capacity section, you have instance size where you can increase the instance size of your virtual machine from between small, medium, and large. So that's called scaling up. And then you can specify auto scale, where you can specify timings. Let's say I don't want my website to run over the weekends, or I just want one instance of my website to run over the weekends.
Right.
And during the weekdays, I want three or four instances.
So we've got all kinds of options for setting up scaling.
Yeah. And then you can manually increase the instance size also. So it's as simple as sliding this from one to two, this slide bar, and then saving it.
So there's a lot of great tools inside of here as far as how to do the scaling. What did you have to do as a developer? You created the site here. What did you have to do to build out all of these tools?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, it's just there for you for free, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So but if you have to do this on your own or in your own data center, what would it take, right? So you have to build virtualization, add a load balancer. Here, you are getting these things for free.
Right, and it's one of the differentiators between, say, for example, a $5 a month host or a $10 a month host, where you've got the unlimited websites that you want to do and all those things, and unlimited egress or a very high level of egress or whatever, but they're not giving you this kind of option to just say, hey, all of a sudden, I need way more processing power, or I need to be able to service way more requests, scaling up or out in one of those ways, right?
Yeah, I just refreshed the page to see what status changes have happened on the page when I saved the website with two instances, from one to two. So if you see here, the chart move from one to two. So now this chart gives me how many instances of my websites are running. And if you see here, I have no clue of what's behind the scenes, right?
Right.
Which operating system it is running on. Of course, it is Windows because we know it. But right. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
It's Windows Azure operating system, right?
Right.
So it can run any application. You don't care about what's running behind the scenes unless your application dictates it.
And that really brings up a point about availability as well, because when you've got your own data center and you're managing the infrastructure, then you've also got concerns about availability. So when we're talking about that, we also probably want to understand what, we've got a slide here that's showing we've got 99.9%
availability.
That's like 45 minutes a month where, there may be some scheduled downtime or there may be service interruptions. But 45 minutes a month, I mean, you're going to burn an hour doing server admin.
And that's for one instance. That's
right.
For single instance. But if you have multiple instances, you can bypass that and get to 99.999 depending on your own architecture. So this is what Microsoft is giving you as part of the service. But you can always build on top of it. Right, and if you click that link, that takes you to the service level agreement for Windows Azure websites.
So our slide deck and everything is available to download, and we've got a number of links throughout the deck. So that's one of the ones that you can go and see the SLA and read the terms and everything that is part of the contract that you get for free when you sign up for Azure as well. Okay, so let's have a look at how we make things more available then. How do we deploy out to multiple data centers?
Yeah, so basically what you can do is, as you saw, between how we deployed the previous application, which was the Orchard one, you can create a new one similar to that and choose the data center, right? And you can deploy another Orchard in another data center around the world, right? Orchard MVA2, and then I can deploy it in West US, right? Now, right now I'm deploying Orchard, but it can be your application with the same code that you can deploy it in multiple data centers, right?
Right.
So, and then you can add an abstraction layer on top of that where you can route the users to appropriate data centers where the users are accessing it from. Let's
right.
say I have West US users, I have Southeast Asia users, I have European users, you have data centers in all these three continents.
Right, exactly. Now, it's the project that we looked at here in this particular case with Orchard, it's a .NET project. Obviously, ASP.NET is supported. We are running on IIS. But this is also about our choice of languages. It's not simply about being strictly tied to the .NET stack or
exactly.
having to buy into, a specific Microsoft stack in order to make this work. That's all there, and the tooling's great, and that experience is wonderful, but really you get your choice of language, right?
Yep, exactly. So again, new app, compute. By the time this session is over, you're going to be a master in deploying apps, right, from Gallery, yeah. So another new app, then let's pick some templates, right? Let's fail, maybe. Let's try to fail, because too much success is not good, right? Success and failure are two sides of the same coin.
Right.
Right? So sometimes failures are good. So let's say my PHP MVA.azure. Okay, the domain name is available. Now create a new MySQL database. Okay, let's create. I want it to fail, but maybe Demo Demon is not with me right now. And he is. So let's pick East Asia, right? And then I give an admin password. Now, this is funny. I realize this. Have you seen password in text mode?
Yeah, that's a bit of an oddity there.
Yeah, I'm a chaos monkey, and people here know about it. So the moment I stepped in this room, I started creating problems, right? So, right from RDP and stuff like that. So when I touch something, it fails. That's why I have to befriend Demo Demon. So now, this is the name of the MySQL database that will be created. And ClearDB is the service provider for MySQL database in Windows Azure websites.
Okay.
So ClearDB is Microsoft partner, and they have part of their infrastructure associated with Windows Azure. So they deploy MySQL instances for you. So I agree to ClearDB's terms, and then I click OK. So now
you read all those terms, right? You did all the reading, and yeah, okay, we're clear on that.
Maybe I'll email my lawyer and ask him to
vet it
if I have one.
Yeah.
So now my PHP MVA is getting created, and it's in standard mode. And let's see if it succeeds or fails. Now, by this time, I'm sure that it will succeed. What do you think?
I think it's going to work the first try, and it will all day. There you go. It's running. Okay. It's running.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, though. We got to actually browse to the site.
Yep. So let's go here to the website.
And always this first time, there's a little bit. We're going to talk about this in a little bit greater detail, yeah. But the first time, there's always a little bit of that burn-up time, yeah. Right?
So in this case, I would call success as a failure, right?
Okay.
Because I wanted this to fail.
Right.
Because I thought my MySQL quota was exceeded.
Gotcha, okay.
But somehow, I deleted MySQL yesterday, and it was not getting deleted, but today morning it was wiped out.
Okay.
So there was some batch process, and I was hoping for this to fail. But anyways, we are good. We embrace failures.
We do, absolutely. Yeah. So now we can see that it's different languages. You want to show something else?
Yeah, one more quick thing. So right. Now where is this MySQL created, right? We spoke about ClearDB. So now if you click the link.
Right, here, so the site's created. We said there's a third-party partner of Microsoft's and it's called ClearDB. Where did that go? So you've gone to the linked resources, you clicked on that link,
yep.
And that takes us to the ClearDB property.
Yep. ClearDB website, and now this website hosts your MySQL server. So this is the server. Now ClearDB has a notion of a server and then databases behind the scenes. We won't go deep into this one, but if you want to navigate or understand where your MySQL is or connect to your MySQL database from your own environment, you will need this information.
Right, and because the password was clear text, by the end of this session, everybody's going to be putting their own data in there anyway.
Yeah, so that was the MySQL starter kit password. I hope someone is looking out there, right? So, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Now, it's we can be very agile as well, and agility is something that is talked about very frequently. Now, so if you were the kind of person who, for example, wanted to use Dropbox or maybe as part of, I actually had a friend who needed to share the project files through Dropbox. Their client actually said, you know, I need to work this way and I need to push my stuff out. So the benefit was is that just by pushing the site that he was working on into Dropbox, that gave him an Azure website almost for free, right? So let's talk about maybe a little bit about
how
that
works. Yeah, one of the things I've been thinking about is basically all these storage service providers, right? So it's Dropbox, Windows Azure Storage, S3. So they have terabytes of storage already. How can you monetize that from your business perspective? So let's say you have an application that you want to build, like a mobile app, and you want to leverage all these storage tiers. And a lot of them have free tiers also, let's say Dropbox. So you can create an application that can store images into these Dropbox environments. Let's say it's an event, and you are clicking pictures. So most of the pictures that are clicked during events are lost because they are in your Dropbox folder or your own account. So you can add an abstraction layer on top of it and then click the event pictures and you can aggregate those in one Dropbox account and then automatically create a website on top of it for displaying that event pictures.
Right.
So that's a great idea.
So
that's a
leverage some free storage, leverage the free websites and just kind of merge or blend these free things together. Okay.
Yeah, guys, steal that idea. Feel free to build a Windows, but build a Windows store app.
Yeah, right.
Don't build an iOS app.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, they are laughing in the studio. So now let's look at how you can quickly deploy a simple Word document, right? So how many of you use Word?
So Word as a development tool now, hey? Okay, so you're building a town, you're building something out here in Microsoft Word.
Yeah. And so I click the assign. This is a pre-existing template.
Okay.
And I create a simple Word document, right? And then I save it. Now I already have Dropbox set up here, right? So then I save as, go to my computer, and then I store it in my Dropbox environment. So when you associate your website with Dropbox, there is an apps folder created, then there is an Azure folder, and then I'll click on WAWS, and then I'll just save this Word document as an HTML page, and I'll call this index.html.
Index.html, so I don't default have to, document on a website.
Exactly.
Right.
And then I save it, replace it. Yeah, all that.
Formatting might not look the same, et cetera, et cetera.
Who cares?
Right.
Now I can go to my Dropbox website, right, and I can click on the Dropbox website link.
And there you go.
That's a Word document as a web page. So let's say you want to deploy a coupon.
Right.
Right? A discount coupon, and you want your websites to point to this coupon. Now, this can be temporary, right? It can be as quick as I can go here and delete this website.
And then it's gone. And
then
that,
it's gone.
That so, Dropbox reference.
And you can use the API to auto-delete that website. So it can be a time-bound coupon which expires. Right, so it's a static page because it was created using Word, but you can shove anything into that Dropbox folder, right? And quick thing I wanted to show is to connect to Dropbox, you have to go here, and let me go to another website and show you how to connect. So you can select a deployment from source control, right? And here you can connect the Dropbox. It will ask you for blah, 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 authorize, I can...
Credentials, blah, credential. Blah, blah, or credentials.
Yeah, right? Who cares? We can see password in text nowadays. Yeah. So now I can select one of these folders, right, or create a new folder, right? Now, when I select this, one folder will be created on my desktop here. So it might take some time for syncing, but you get the gist of it. It is about agility, right? That's the thing. How quickly... Now, these are the deployments on my Dropbox. If you go to the deployment section,
so every time you've made a change, a new deployment stays here. Excellent.
And you can synchronize here. There is a sync button to synchronize your Dropbox account to the Windows Azure website where you have connected.
Excellent. So it seems very flexible as well. And flexibility is actually one of the tenets here, one of the things that we wanted to share about.
Absolutely.
So from that aspect of it, we've got this phrase that you've brought up, zero lock-in.
Zero lock-in.
Okay, so what does that mean? Walk us through that.
Basically, Windows Azure websites is based on IIS. So it's IIS as a service, right? That's where it starts. And then there are other services on top of, like scaling, security. But at the core, it's IIS as a service, right? On top of IIS, you can deploy your website. You can deploy PHP website, ASP.NET website, Node.js websites, and more coming. Right, and most of the developers and operators are familiar with IIS on premises also. So why shouldn't it work both ways, right? So that's why Windows Azure websites is created with zero lock-in in mind. So if you saw I deploy Orchard, right, CMS system, right, I could deploy the same Orchard on premises,
right,
using Windows Azure Pack. So there is a product for hosters. It doesn't have to be for hosters. It's called for hosters, but you can create your own Windows Azure websites environment in your data center and use the same services.
So now using it out in Windows Azure websites is public cloud, but if we want to bring it on premise, we have that ability as well.
Yes.
So an ISV that wants to easily scale out, you know, on their own infrastructure, their own pieces as
or
well.
Or Tejasvi.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So these are the links. You can go to these links, and they consist of step-by-step procedures for deploying your own Windows Azure websites environment using Windows Azure Pack.
So I'm interested. I want to kind of start. How wide open do I need to open my wallet here in order to get started?
Yeah, cost. So we spoke about cost-driven architectures.
Right.
It's free to start. So viewers can sign in today, right now, during this session, for Windows Azure services.
Right.
And then start building websites as we speak. Right. So it's free to start. You can deploy up to 10 free sites.
And we have we've thrown up a matrix here of a couple of the different models and how price actually starts to play in on those. So there's a lot of information here on this slide. Can you just kind of give us an overview of what the key pieces are that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, we don't want to go into details because this is more for downloads. But if you see the price, right? So there is a free tier where you can have up to 10 websites per region. Then you have a shared tier. You can have up to 100 websites a region. So shared means your website is running along with someone else's website on the same virtual machine. Now you don't have to know about it, right? However it is running. Then there is a standard tier where you have reserved instances, right? So one virtual machine or multiple virtual machines running only your websites. You can deploy up to 500 instances of your website on these virtual machines.
And then every site itself can actually scale out to 10 instances,
yep,
and giving you that really high availability, that scalability that you need as well. And so basically, once you get to a point where, you know, I mean, if we're looking at the pricing there, it's 1.3 cents per hour versus 10 cents an hour. So really, once you get up to 7 or 8 websites,
exactly,
you really want to just move up into standard anyways, save a bit of money and get better performance out of it.
Yeah, if you want VM. If you want one blog or two blogs, go with free.
Right.
If you have like 4 or 5 blogs, try shared. If you want like 10 or 20 blogs or beyond that, then go with standard.
Right. Excellent. Okay. And then there's actually a pricing in the slide deck. You can click there. And also, just if you do a Bing search for Windows Azure websites pricing or Windows Azure pricing, there's actually a tool that you can use, and you just slide around all of the resources you want, and it tells you how much it's going to cost a month. So there's no guessing here.
Yeah, you click that link, and it will take you to the pricing tool. And I've included this link because pricing changes. This is cloud, right? So there is race to the bottom. All cloud providers are reducing their prices. So your calculations today may be different tomorrow. So make sure you look at the tool. Don't go on the tabular format that we created. That might be invalid a couple of days from now.
Right, exactly. So, bigger picture, we take the blindfolds off. We see the more of it, right?
Cool.
Okay, so there's more to it. We've got simplicity, flexibility, tools, scale, choice, and it's all about building out apps out there. Okay. So,
what is it best suited for?
When are we going to actually use this?
Yeah. So it is best suited for web services and web applications that are standalone. In the sense, you have an application that doesn't have too many dependencies, but it can run on its own, scale on its own, scale flexibly, right? And you can connect to data sources within Azure. Don't go beyond the limits of Azure. So that is it is best suited for.
Right, and I would argue too that, like, I mean, when you're talking about brownfield development versus a new project and greenfield development, you know, you've got a lot more options for architecture that are going to be supporting cloud. And when you build up from the ground up with cloud architecture in mind, you probably can take advantage of more of those external services without having to worry about it. From a performance perspective, you want to try and keep everything as close to the central processing as possible, right?
Great for marketing sites, right? So let's say I'm the largest soup company in this world, right? So, and I wanted to run a marketing campaign, a social marketing campaign with 300 websites.
Right.
So Windows Azure Websites is great for this because you can deploy time-bound websites, you can scale out, you can auto-scale because let's say your Facebook users increase overnight, right? So we have customers that run online digital campaigns, let's say Facebook and Twitter campaigns, and they get hundreds and thousands of hits. And sometimes millions of hits. So you need auto scale in place so that you capture those users. You don't lose business on it. So it's great for that. And then front-ending gaming sites. So anywhere you need horizontal scale, quick scale, and the sites are standalone, there is business logic in there. Websites is great for that.
And especially when you don't want to have to manage the infrastructure yourself. These things are just log into the portal, slide some, or have something automated and start using the API that's available and actually have those things automate for you for scaling.
Infrastructure is painful, so spend some time with your family. Get off of the infrastructure.
Right,
that's
exactly
what our motto is.
More family time. Windows Azure Websites is all about family time.
Family time, yeah.
That's right. I don't know why that's not a marketing slide somewhere. That's really what it's about. Yeah. Okay.
So let's take a quick look at how it works. We are.
Well, let's talk about too what it's not right, about, because it's also, there's some key areas where we probably wouldn't use Windows Azure Websites as our first jump off point, right?
Yeah. Background services, right? So Windows Azure Websites do not support background services. Let's say you have a Windows service which does batch jobs, not for Windows Azure Websites.
Right.
Windows Azure Websites is the front end of your application. For the backend, you can use cloud services and virtual machines.
So
if you need low-level operating system access, Windows Azure Websites is not.
Right. You can stay on Azure. It's just going to be a different aspect, a different service that you're using, right?
Yeah.
Operating system access is the same thing as is
file system access. Right. So, but the workaround is that there is Windows Azure Storage, right? So when you design your application for the cloud, don't design for operating system.
Right.
Don't design for local file system. Design for the horizontal, scalable, and elastic storage. It's cheap, and it's easy to store and retrieve data. Right. So that's why design it for cloud storage.
And then from a use case perspective, the unsupported programming languages is kind of, well, what do we mean there? Well, we'll talk about what about some of those pieces later. Technically, you can do it if you wanted to. If you wanted to plug in and make some other language work, you could do it, right?
And not spend time with your family. So coming back, so don't do too much hard work. You can create your own handler in Windows Azure websites and route that handler to a component that processes the request and returns, similar to how Node.js works. So you have flexibility around that. But you don't really need to do that considering other services available in Windows Azure, like virtual machines and cloud services, where you can run applications on pretty much any language supported on Linux or Windows platforms.
Right.
And of course, there are VM limits. At the end of the day, there are certain amount of virtual machines that run your website. If your website needs 16 gigabytes of RAM and a virtual machine doesn't support it, it's not for Windows Azure websites. Go a different route, right? So it's as simple as that. You have to live with what's available and design within the constraints, which enforces best practices.
Right. So now we have a clearer picture about what it is, when we should use it, when we likely should try to think of another solution or another implementation rather than just a standalone piece in living inside of Windows Azure websites. Well, we need to know how it works.
How
right?
It works, yeah. So how is it architected? So these are internals that you don't need to know as a developer. We have added this slide so that developers like us, we need to know because we don't trust anyone, right?
That's
we need
right,
to know
yeah.
what's happening, right?
So when you're taking away my root access to the machine, that's not fair.
Yeah. when you were accessing that website, right, it was taking a long time when you were accessing for the first time. So the question is why?
Right.
Right. So this is the architecture of Windows Azure websites itself. It sits on top of Windows Azure. These are the components that already exist. So there is a load balancer, which you get for every website. Then there is IIS, Application Request Router, ARR, which is another load balancer and a reverse proxy. So this is an intelligent load balancer on top of Windows Azure websites, which keeps track of where your website is deployed, which plan do you have. And then there is a runtime DB, which hosts your website metadata. And then there are deployment servers where you can deploy your applications too, right? So let's say the Dropbox deployment, when we were synchronizing the Dropbox, it goes through the deployment servers. And there is an API front end. And behind the scenes, then there is a group of web servers that are always running, right? And then they are waiting for requests. And then there is a storage controller which stores your websites, stores the data of your website, right? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's like presenter bliss here. Yeah. I'm just touching the screen and I'm able to...
And then the cloud drive is stored on Windows Azure Blob Storage. So they are stored as VHD, virtualized drives, hard drives. So if you click the next button there. So when the request comes in, the w3wp.exe, the ASP.NET runtime kicks up, right? Then there is a metering. That's why I brought metering early on. So in behind the scene, it's a multi-tenant system. So it has to meter on how much resource are you using. So if you're using free, you have limited access to resources. That's how a cloud provider can offer economies of scale, right? So it needs to meter every plan. And there is dynamic web activation service, which takes care of deploying your website, understanding the plans of your website, and deploying your website in IIS. And then the website's database is your application database. It doesn't have to be there, right? So the database that we created was MySQL. So this is similar to the MySQL database for our PHP starter kit. And so this can host either within Windows Azure, outside of Windows Azure, or hosted by a partner like ClearDB or MongoLab. It can be a MongoDB, NoSQL database also.
Right. Okay, so this is now our look at a cold site. So an incoming request comes into Azure. And what happens now? As a developer, how do I...
So let's first define what a cold site is, right? So distinguish between publishing and going live. So when you publish a website, you saw during the demo, I published a website. So by default, it is cold. That means it's not deployed at all, right? So it's sitting as a VHD blob and the file server has access to that VHD blob.
Right.
So when the request comes in, let's say this is the first request. When the request comes in, it goes to the front end tier, the IIS ARR, and then IIS ARR looks at the runtime database to find out, okay, where is this website? Does it even is it even deployed or not? And then the request, so ISARR now knows that the website is not deployed because this is your first request. It's still cold site, right? So then ARR goes to the next step where it looks at the available worker roles. So it picks up a web worker role, which has an IIS and enough availability. And then it routes requests to that worker role. And the dynamic web application, web activation service that takes over, it looks at the runtime DB again, understands the plan, and then deploys your website.
So depending on what your scale model is, what your configuration settings are, it's all
taken care of.
Right, it's figured out from that metabase, and then all that data that is needed in order to spin it up appropriately, that's where that comes from.
And I will reiterate that you don't need to know about this. But this is nice to have, but after today's session, you can just forget about it, and you'll still be successful on Windows Azure websites.
If your manager asks, just go back to the slide deck and then sound like a pro. But otherwise, get it out of there. You don't
show him this animation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, this is just for managers. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So now the site is inside of a web worker, and what happens next?
Then the web worker contacts the file server because that is where your website files are, and then it deploys the website. Now the website has to talk to a database or nothing. Right.
Right. So that can be a text file in the file system. It can be something that's remote. It can be
like the Dropbox file. Right? It can be a Word document. In that case, you won't need the SQL Azure database here. But it can be as complicated as NoSQL MongoDB cluster also there behind the scenes. And then finally, once the site is up, then the site is hot because it's deployed. It's live. The next request comes in. ARR has cached data about your website.
It already knows who you are and it's running and all of those things.
Who you are, what you do. Yeah, so it's like the NSA of Windows Azure websites.
Right. that's where NSA has all their hooks, right?
Yeah.
That's,
And then it deploys, it just contacts the web worker, the site running on the web worker. The site checks the file server, loads the files if required, and then sends a response back. It is as simple as that.
Right. So rather than going through all the metabase configuration stuff, all of that is already taken care of. The second request comes through. It's much quicker.
And that's the reason the first request is slow. Right. So that's the reason that the first request is slow.
So we have another good way to go out here, in summary over what we're doing. And again, it's a little bit markety, it's a little bit not developer speak kind of thing. But there's some important tenets we covered here, and it's probably important just to kind of recap why we're using Windows Azure websites.
I have to throw in some of my flavor there because I work a lot with the enterprise customers, so I have to include some markety as well as some development.
It's all good. So it's ready for business. So, I mean, again, we were talking about how, you know, if all you need is a single blog and you're just, you know, posting your recipes up there that you like to have with the family, probably not the best type of thing, especially if you're, you know, there's usually a driver, right? And the driver here is there's some kind of business requirement that...
Or use the free one if you need to. You can create your own blog, create your friend's blog, create your kid's blog, create your family blog. It's free.
But when
the only thing is you won't get a domain name of your own choice.
That's
when it's free, you have to stick with the .azurewebsites.net domain name.
So when you need the more of the scaling, if you want to add third-party logging and all those kinds of things, that's all there and that's available. And those are the things that kind of make a business ready right out of the box. The best Visual Studio experience, I think, as far as working with a cloud platform.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I've started loving Visual Studio so much that I cannot survive with a single day without it now.
It is a great...
I have to start my day with Visual Studio.
Yeah, it's like coffee and Visual Studio, just get them right on the desk and away you go.
Visual Studio wins with coffee. That's my caffeine, actually.
Exactly. It's pretty fast to market. I think we saw really quickly there already that if you've got a project that's ready to go, it's pretty easy to push out there. And open and flexible, your platform, your frameworks of choice, all of those kinds of things, they all play in really well. Okay, so that's great. There's a lot of stuff to digest there. We're going to take a bit of a break. You guys can take a bit of a break. We'll be about 10 minutes, and we'll join you right back here talking about Windows Azure websites in our deep dive jumpstart.
Yep, see you later.